While you're turning in your Bible to Proverbs 18, what I want to do is I actually want to direct your attention to an attribute about Jesus Christ that we very rarely talk about. Maybe we never talk about it. It's one of his qualities that I'm thinking of. Jesus was a model listener. He was like a really good listener. Now, Jesus was a master communicator, this is for sure, but what's interesting is when you read the Gospels and you watch the interactions that he had with people, he was not just a gifted orator, but he was extremely skilled at listening to people, which is kind of remarkable if you think about it, because if there was a guy who's ever lived who didn't need to listen to anybody, it's the guy who already knows everything, right? Jesus knows what we're thinking before we say it, and yet here he is modeling for his people something that I don't know about you, but I really struggle with, being a good listener. I'm so thankful Jesus modeled that. Amen, sister, yes. Amen. So what an incredible thing to think about. Now, let me put it this way. You read the Gospels and you see Jesus coming to all kinds of people and asking them questions. He would approach people with leprosy. He would approach prostitutes. He would approach Roman soldiers, Pharisees, lawyers, you name it. Jesus would interact and he would ask them questions, and then he would actually stop talking and he would really listen to them. Amazing. What a concept. I'm thinking of one moment in the Gospel of Mark. You know this account. It's so beautiful. It's the account of the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, suffering. And she hears that Jesus is making the way through her town. There are crowds crowded around him. But she thinks, if I can just get close enough to touch the hem of his garment, perhaps some of that power will rub off on me. So here you see the woman making her way through the crowd. She reaches out, she touches the garment, and she's instantly healed, delivered from her ailment. And then she thinks, now I can just sneak off into the crowd and no one will be any of the wiser. But Jesus stops and he says, something just happened. Who touched me, right? And he calls her over. And this is the point of the story where we stop paying attention. Go back and read it, Mark 5. It says that Jesus sat with her and she told him her entire story. Her whole story, and he just listened to her. And I love that. I get this picture of Jesus, the creator of the universe, sitting in the dust with a woman as she's telling her story, and he's just giving her his undivided attention. So powerful. Now, don't you think it's possible that that is one of the reasons why Jesus had such an impact on the people that he interacted with? Because he listened to them. Consider this morning the dignity and the grace and the astounding love that you communicate to another person when you really listen to them. When they get your undivided attention. Spouses, or co-workers, your daughter, your son, or how about that unbeliever that you're friends with? Think of the transforming power in the relationships that matter the most to you when you really listen to someone. You just tune into them. It's so powerful, so powerful. So this morning is a little bit different, okay? I'm interested this morning in a relationship that I found in the book of Proverbs that I want to share with you, and it's the relationship between wisdom and listening, okay? It's kind of like the other side of the coin to the words that we did last Sunday. We talked about wisdom and our words, and I called that sermon Wise Mouth. Well, this morning, the sermon is called Wise Ears, Wise Ears. So were really practical. It's like, this is the concrete stuff. That's what I love about Proverbs. Proverbs is interested in making people who are wise in their relationships, people who are wise when it comes to anger. We've talked about anger. We've talked about laziness. We've talked about how we speak. We've even talked about our sexuality. Proverbs cares about all those things. But did you ever notice how many Proverbs connect wisdom with being a good listener? It's very interesting. So will you look with me, Proverbs chapter 18, and let's listen in to just a couple verses here at the beginning to get us started. Proverbs 18, I'm gonna read to you verse 13. Listen to this, circle this proverb. What a great one. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. Now that is a profound proverb, okay? I need to tattoo that one across my forehead. Of course, then I wouldn't be able to see it, so that makes no sense. Scratch that. Think about it. Now, okay, let me say real quick, Proverbs is not going to teach us that all speaking is foolish. We know this. What Proverbs is gonna do is it's gonna teach us that we enter into folly when we fail to pair our speaking with good listening. That's when you get into trouble. When you're speaking, but you've never actually slowed down enough to really listen to the person that you're talking to, now Proverbs is gonna say, that's foolishness. That's gonna harm your relationships. So skip down to Proverbs 18:15, just one verse down. Listen to this. An intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Wise people have ears that seek knowledge. That's a description of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Now, a person might be thinking, well, wait a minute, shouldn't the wise people be doing the talking? You know? I mean, if they're wise, shouldn't it be the wise people talking and the people who are not as wise, shouldn't they be sitting around listening to the wise people, right? But what's interesting is that Proverbs says that almost precisely the opposite thing happens. People who are wise tend to be very cautious with their words, and they tend to be really good listeners. And people who are foolish tend to not be very good listeners, and they tend to be very careless with their words. And so it got me thinking, what is the actual connection that I need to help us make between wisdom and listening? I mean, what is the connection? And how can we grow? How can we become more wise through pursuing this really, really particular theme of listening, okay? Here's what I came up with. The practice of listening, and I'm gonna call it a practice all week long. The practice of listening involves many of the qualities that we often associate with wisdom. So when you actually are listening to someone, you're actually putting on display qualities in your life that Proverbs associates with wisdom. So for example, consider the connection between wisdom and self-control. Just think about it. Self-control. How much self-control does it take to really be a good listener? You might want to write that word down, self-control, and go, yeah, would my spouse describe me as a person who has self-control, as a listener? Here's a proverb, 17:27. You don't have to turn there, it's on the screen. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. That's self-control. A person who restrains their words is a person who has self-control. Now think about it. It's really hard to listen if you're constantly talking, right? It's pretty hard to listen if there's always words coming out of your mouth. So the very first thing Proverbs says is, it says, if you want to grow in wisdom and listening, it's time to take control of the amount of words that are coming out of my mouth. Restraint. Here's a proverb. I love this proverb. I think it's one of the funnier ones in the entire book. It's Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. I love that proverb. It's like, that person is brilliant. And then they talk. Never mind. Okay. I love that. So there's this restraint, this self-control. Okay, but think about this. Think about the connection between wisdom, all right, and understanding. Wisdom and understanding. How much understanding do you demonstrate when someone is talking to you and they are getting your undivided attention? And they can tell, this person is totally clued in and they're understanding me. Do you see the connection? You see the connection? Here's a proverb. Proverbs 18:2. It's on the screen. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. So foolishness says, I don't need to understand. I want to talk about all the amazing things that I'm thinking about, right? But how much understanding do you demonstrate when you really listen? Have you ever been in a situation where someone starts to give you advice way before they've actually heard what you're dealing with and how unhelpful that is? And I struggle with that all the time. I hate it. And I'm like, why am I trying to immediately interject and tell this person what I think when I've not actually slowed down enough to really listen to them? And ask them, I see people elbowing each other. That's not cool, all right? Keep it to yourself. I haven't really slowed down like Proverbs 18:13 said, where you give an answer before you've really heard somebody. So think about the connection, wisdom and listening and understanding. Interesting. Here's one more, real quickly. This one's really significant. What about the connection between listening and humility? Listening and humility. Just think about how much humility gets expressed when you really listen to somebody. Because humble people are always thinking, I need to learn more. There are deficiencies in me. And not only do I need to learn, but it's very likely that this person who's talking to me, who's sharing their heart, sharing their story, it's very possible that I need to learn something from them. Whereas pride goes, I don't need to learn anything from that person. I'm going to do all the talking. Humility says, I'm not going to talk. I'm going to listen to this person. I'm going to clue into them. Here's a proverb, Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Wise people are not people who don't need advice. Isn't that interesting? So you think, why would a wise person need advice if they already are wise? They don't need any. But actually what Proverbs says is it flips that upside down and it says, wise people are people who are constantly taking in data, learning, and even listening to the wise counsel of other people in their lives. Somebody comes and says to you, I'm kind of concerned about something that I see. A wise person would go, I better listen to this. I probably have something to learn. Fascinating. Fascinating. I thought that I was a pretty good listener, and then I got married. Okay? Then I got married, and marriage is like the spotlight that shines on all of your weaknesses, right? Including listening. And it was after I got married that I realized how impatient I am, how little self-control, how arrogant I can be. I'll never forget the first major conflict that Kathy and I had. She was really hurt. I had really hurt her, and I could tell. So we went into the living room and we sat down on the couch, and it was one of the most painful, long conversations I've ever had. I got done and I was like, might be the worst listener on the planet. You know, just strike me dead today, Lord. Because what happened was in that situation, I realized Kathy and I communicate and process information completely differently, okay? Kathy is what we call an internal processor, all right? Which means before she talks, she takes a lot of time and she thinks it through, like a lot of time, like a really long time, okay? And I tend to be an external processor where I start talking and sometimes I'll work out what I'm feeling as I'm talking. So we're sitting there and she's hurt and I begin to listen and she sits there and there's some tears and then she doesn't say anything and she's just looking at me. And I'm thinking, she's punishing me right now. This is like really vengeful. She's punishing me. And it felt like an eternity. It was probably 2 minutes. But what was happening is Kathy was saying, I'm gonna make sure I've thought this through completely before I speak. I wanna be careful. And I learned, Adam, you got a lot of work to do as a listener. I need wisdom. How about you? Do you need wisdom? Do you need wisdom? This morning, here's what I'm gonna ask you to do. I want you to think of a couple of relationships in your life where if you grew as a wise listener, the relationship would be transformed. I want you to think of that relationship as we work our way through the passage. And what I'm gonna do today is I'm going to suggest that one of the ways that you can grow in wisdom at a rapid pace is to begin to practice the art of listening. It's like a spiritual discipline, listening is. It takes some practice, and it's gonna take some effort on your part. Now, there is a verse in the New Testament that gives us a really simple pattern for how to grow as a listener. So I'm gonna have you turn there now. It's in the book of James, which is almost all the way to the end of your New Testament. Turn to James chapter 1. If you get to the book of Revelation, you've gone past it. James chapter 1, and the book of James, many people call the book of James the Proverbs of the New Testament. It's a wisdom book, and there's a lot of evidence that James was meditating on Proverbs when he wrote his book. He talks a lot about listening. He talks a lot about speaking, and in James 1, verse 19, he gives us a little pattern that we could begin to practice. And if you practice this pattern, you're gonna see amazing growth in your listening. Here's what he says. James 1, verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. There's the pattern. Quick to speak, slow. I got that, turn around. See, quick. No, don't do that. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Quick, slow, slow. That is so simple. What a pattern. But now, isn't it true that for so many of us, that's turned completely around? We're like really slow to listen, quick to speak, quick to anger. We get it, totally turn around. And here's James saying, no. Wise Christianity is quick, slow, slow. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. What if you wrote that down and you started to work on that this week in your life? I thought about this imagery of quick and slow. It's really interesting. What are things that I do really quickly? I just almost rush to them. I don't even have to think about it. It's almost like my default posture, or it's just automatic. And I wondered, do I automatically just begin to listen when someone talks to me? Someone comes up and they begin to share and I'm immediately, okay, I'm listening, that person's getting my full attention, and it's an automatic for me. I don't even have to think about it, I just resort to it. It's like a knee-jerk reaction. Someone strikes your knee pops up, right? Knee-jerk. Someone opens a bag of barbecue potato chips, I start to salivate and I go to the kitchen. That's a knee-jerk, right? How about you? Are you quick to listen? Quick to listen, slow to speak. When you're in an interaction with someone, you very slowly wait before you say something. How powerful is that? You know, if you're quick to listen, that's always going to go well for you. It's always going to go well. No one ever goes, man, I kind of rushed to listen to that person. It kind of backfired on me. No. If you're a person who's quick to listen, that's always a good idea. And it's always a good idea to be slow to speak. Always a good idea. Here's what happens when you're slow to speak. When you slow down, you create space in your interaction. And in that space, here's what can happen. As a person is talking, you go, I really want to say something. But then you're slow to speak, so you wait for a moment, and it's almost like you have this internal pause button. Wouldn't that be great if we always had that? This pause button where I hit the pause, and I have a moment where I can evaluate what I want to say and figure out, is it actually as brilliant as I think it is? Maybe not. And what if I was actually in that pause, even prayerful? And I said, Jesus, is this what I should say? Because I'm quick to listen, but I'm slow to speak. And so I create space. And in that space, I pray. And oftentimes, I think I want to say something, but then I wait, and then the person keeps talking, and then I realize, see, that would not have been helpful. That would have interrupted. That would have changed the subject. That would have harmed the dialogue. What a gift to learn that slow to speak element, right? So I want to ask you this morning, because I can tell you're thinking, you're going, how am I? Am I good at this? And I do want to ask you, would people describe you as a person who's quick to listen and slow to speak? Or is that something that God is saying, I want you to work on, I want you to practice that. You know what? We all struggle in this. We all need to grow. That's why we come on Sundays and study our Bibles. So if you're wrestling with this, if you're struggling with this, maybe you're even realizing that is one of the number one things that's actually harming my relationships. And maybe God is speaking to you and saying, I want you to grow in this area. Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna change gears a little bit and I'm gonna get super practical. And what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna give you two lists today. Two lists. I like lists because I can pick one thing from the list to work on, and that's exactly what I want you to do. On each of these lists, just pick one of them. And as you listen, write down these elements, and as you listen, ask God, which of these are you wanting me to focus on, okay? And then begin to pray and ask Jesus to help you. The first list I've called the four enemies of good listening. The four enemies of good listening. It should be up there. There it is. The four enemies of good listening. Now, there are millions. I just picked four, all right? I picked four. Here's enemy number one, anger. We have to talk about anger because James talks about anger. James says, wise Christians are quick to listen, slow to speak, and they're slow to anger. And so what James is saying is often if you're angry, you're also speaking, and you're certainly not listening, right? And we know this. So hard to listen if I'm angry, because anger is an emotion that feels so strong that I become totally consumed with that emotion. And I'm 100% focused on my anger, which means I'm no longer focused on the person who I'm trying to listen to. And so it's an enemy to your listening, and here's what you need to find the power to do by the grace of Jesus is to begin to figure out a way to deal with that anger and say, I'm Lord, in this situation, I'm angry, and that means I've stopped listening. Will you please give me the grace to set that anger aside for a minute and get back to being attentive to this person? It's impossible to listen when you're angry. So that's enemy number one. Here's enemy number two. Enemy number two is distractions. This is obvious, right? And there are the obvious distractions. Smartphones, the television, all those things. But what I'm really interested in this morning is I'm interested in the more subtle distractions. So here's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about the things that are happening inside of your head, things that you're worried about. Maybe you've got something at work that's consumed you, or a relationship where there's tension. And you know how that goes. You're worrying about something, you're thinking about something, you're trying to strategize, you're trying to work it through, and suddenly you realize I've totally stopped listening to my spouse or my daughter or my friend. And so the ability to say, wait a minute, that thing is important, but right now it's actually harming this relationship. And what I need to do is I need to set it aside, ask God for the grace to set it aside so that I can stay here knowing that I can come back and figure that one out later. And this is why, and we talk about this a lot, how powerful it can be when you, right before you walk through the door of your house, you've had a long day, and there's stuff that's just firing in your head, but you know, I'm about to take all that stuff into my family or into this conversation with my friend. And you just wait before you get out of the car, before you take your hands off the steering wheel, you pray and you say, Lord, I'm just gonna lay this at your feet right now. And I'm gonna ask for the wisdom to settle those distractions aside and go in and really listen in this situation. What a wise thing to do in your relationships, right? So we got anger, we got distractions. Here's one, defensiveness. Defensiveness. It is almost impossible to keep listening once you feel defensive, right? Because actually, defensiveness, that feeling, that's the number one reason why we start to formulate our next statement while the other person's still talking, right? People are like, oh yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Someone's saying something to you and you start feeling defensive, they're like, you are almost never home. And you're thinking, I was home on Wednesday and I was home on Friday. Take that. And you stop listening because now you formulate what you're gonna say next. Defensiveness. And then finally, the fourth one I called self-centeredness. Or another way to say it would be just a lack of interest. This one's difficult, okay? And you might wanna, you're gonna wanna reflect, but what I'm after here is one of the reasons that maybe we're not good at listening to someone is because we're actually not all that interested in who they are or what they might be saying in that moment. We're so centered on our own lives or what's going on, we don't even actually care, maybe. Was that gentle enough? Was that gentle? Another word would be narcissism, you know? But it's like, I'm so consumed with everything that's going on in here, I'm not even able to set that aside and go, wow, I actually really love this person and I wanna listen to them. So anger, okay, distractions, defensiveness, self-centeredness. You can't circle all four of those, all right? Do not circle all four. Pick one this week and start to pray and make it a part of your daily prayer life. Ask Jesus to help you, okay? Well, here's the second list. This one's the positive. I'm calling it three smooth stones for good listening. These are the good things. These are like the arrows in your quiver. You want these. Grab a hold of these. These will help your relationships. They'll help you in your listening. Smooth stone, number one, is body language. Body language. Remember that when you're listening to someone, they are receiving lots of messages about how interested and attentive you are through your body language. Even if you're not saying anything, it's very possible that they can tell you're not listening, right? Eye contact, your posture, facial expressions communicate so much. Someone is saying something and you're looking over somewhere else. Think about the power of body language, how important it is. Think about the power of knowing when you need to be close with someone and when you need to provide a little distance. Learning about space. Space is a big part of this. You know, people have a different sense of that personal bubble. I've learned this on Sunday mornings because people will come up and some people will stand like 5 feet away and they'll talk. And I'm like, how you doing? And other people will come up and they're like right up in your grill. Are we going to hug right now or what's happening? I can smell you. This is amazing. This is intimate. Everyone has a different sense. Do you know how in your relationships to learn what's the right amount of distance where this person's going to feel really comfortable and heard by me, right? Or how about touch? Do you know when it's time in your marriage to grab the hand? It gets tender, it gets a little bit more emotional, and you know, this is the moment where I need to grab a hand. Or maybe this is the moment where I better back away. But do you know? Are you reading and communicating with your body that you're listening? So that's smooth stone number one. Here's another one. I like this. Intentional questions. Intentional questions. People often think that listening is just a passive thing. If I've got ears, I can listen. But we know that's totally wrong. Listening is very active. It's very active. And most of the really great listeners that I know have mastered the art of the finely crafted question, right? You've been in that situation with that person and the way they ask the question, they ask it to you and it just splits you open and you're like, I just want to tell this person my story. You know? How about you? Are you good at asking questions? Let me tell you something about human nature. People almost never tell you exactly how they're doing right away. They very rarely do this. It's Sunday morning, you say, how you doing? Most people are gonna say, what? Fine, I'm fine. And it's very possible their life is actually falling apart. And here's why we do that. And actually, it's actually a very healthy thing. What we do is when someone asks a question, we test the water. And we're smart to do it. We test the water because we wanna figure out, is this actually a safe interaction where this person's really gonna listen to me? So the first answer is sort of a test, and then you evaluate, okay, I'm gonna get an attentive audience here. So a husband comes home and he says to his wife, honey, how you doing? And she says, I'm okay. And he goes, great, the timbers are on in 10 minutes. Love you, babe. So think about it, testing the waters. Now, here's where it's often not the first question that matters, it's actually your second question. It's your follow-up question that takes you from JV to varsity. And you're listening so you know it's time for another question because there's a lot more going on beneath the surface there. And so in wisdom, you craft your next question. And you can say, okay doesn't sound like okay. Tell me what's going on. And that's when you sit down. Or that's when you grab the hand. And that's when you're making eye contact. And then you ask questions. The kinds of questions that I love are the questions where as I'm asking them, I'm adding things into the question that someone's already said to me. So I demonstrate through the kind of question that I've been listening. You said this about your job, and I don't think I totally understood what you meant. Tell me more about that. And now the person is receiving, they know, okay, this person is totally listening to me. I'm gonna say more. Intentional questions. And then third and finally, and by far most importantly, this is where we're gonna get to our Christian faith. Self-sacrifice. Self-sacrifice. We know this, okay? We know that real listening always involves laying down my life. I mean, think about it. It involves a form of death to self. Because when I listen to you, what I'm saying is, what's happening inside of you is more important right now than what's happening inside of me. What you're feeling, what you're afraid of, what you are excited about, what you're scared of is more important to me right now than what I'm feeling, what I'm excited about, what I'm afraid of. And so I lay down, in a sense, I lay down my life temporarily and I make you the focus of my listening, and it involves sacrifice. And then in a healthy, godly conversation, the other person does the same. And so it becomes this beautiful give and take of sacrifice and listening. Can I get you to think, River West, about how much that would transform our church if we grew in that? It would be profound. It would be profound. But it's really hard to do. It's really, really hard in the heat of the moment to lay down my life because I want to defend myself. I have all these feelings. And so how precious is our Christian faith? How precious is our Christian faith where we not only get the perfect example of listening, but actually Jesus gives us a source of power that can help us to lay down our lives as we're listening to someone. So I'm going to close by taking you to something that Jesus said in the Gospel of John. Will you turn there, John 15, to a passage that is not specifically about listening, all right? But listening would be one of the most immediate ways that you could apply what Jesus says in this verse. It's a commandment that he gives. John 15, I'm looking at verses 12 and 13. Here's what he said to his followers. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me," I'm reading the wrong verse. Hold on. That was chapter 14. You were listening. Thank you. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Just hover over that for a minute, okay? Because this is actually very, very, it's very powerful. Jesus is saying to Christians, "I'm commanding you to love each other. But it's not a love you define and it's not a love you make up. I'm gonna ask you to look at me and get your definition of love from me, receive that love and then give it to another person." And then Jesus said, and here's how I define love. Here's how I define love, verse 13. "There's no greater love than when a person lays down their life," which is precisely what he was about to do, right? Precisely. And Jesus says, "I'm gonna lay down my life for you. I'm gonna love you. I'm gonna forgive your sins. I'm gonna pour out grace in abundance on your life. And you're gonna be full. And then I'm gonna ask you to turn. And with the same kind of love and with the same kind of self-sacrifice, love one another. Love a spouse, love a neighbor. Become a wise listener. You get into that situation where you're struggling and your sin, you want to stop listening and you want to defend, and you realize, oh, this is the moment. This is the moment where I have to sacrifice myself. How will I ever do that? How will I fight against my flesh that doesn't want to listen anymore? Start to meditate on the cross of Jesus Christ. He loved you so much. He gave everything. And you think about it, and then you realize, how much power is there for me now in this moment to lay down my life for this person who I love? So keep the cross right in front of you in all of your conversations. Draw on Christ, draw on his wisdom. Now, you're gonna have 100 opportunities to apply this week. Today, you'll have 100 opportunities to put this into practice. So pick one from each list and begin to pray and ask Jesus to help you. And let's grow together. Let's grow in wisdom and let's practice listening and let's see what God does in our community. We're gonna take communion this morning, and it's actually, I'm thankful we're taking communion because the message is convicting, and so we need to remember grace, right? And what happens when you go to the table, you get the piece of bread and you get the cup. And what you're holding in your hand are symbols. The bread represents the body of Christ, which he willingly gave. He laid down his life. The cup represents his blood, the new covenant in his blood, which was spilled for the forgiveness of sins. And when we take those, we go back to our seats. We take it as a family, but it's also an individual moment. So I know Jesus died for our church and Jesus died for me. And I need that grace in my life and I need that power. I need that new beginning today in that relationship where I've been such a horrible listener. Let Jesus forgive you. Let him fill you with power and then go and obey him and follow him. And I'm gonna pray about that right now.